Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 280. I am your host, James Gilmore, and joining me is Peter Wellington.
Hi.
Hello there, just the two of us this week. A significant downscaling from last week's antics in Helsinki, where there were like tons of us all on top of one another in a hotel room.
There was like a billion of us.
It was massive. So sorry we weren't here on Twitch for the podcast last week. We recorded it in advance, pretty late at night, in a hotel room in Helsinki, after we'd done Pocket Gamer Connects, which was that conference that we were at. So Twitch viewers didn't see us then. Podcast listeners know all about it, because we all sounded rough and a little bit tired, mm-hmm. and we're mostly just shouting over each other and insulting each other in a room.
Mm.
It was quite good fun. It was a nice change of pace for us, and a nice chance to reach out and touch the people who we work with on a daily basis but rarely see, and fondle them inappropriately.
Yeah, I didn't like that bit.
Yes, that's not what you said at the time.
That's true.
You loved it. What have you been doing today, Pete? Have you been running through the rain?
I've been running through the rain, doing errands, went to the post office, writing up things, been writing about Pokemons.
Pokemons, really?
Yeah, I've been writing about Pokemons. There's an article going out tomorrow on Pocket Gamer about 10 animals that could very easily be Pokemon, but aren't Pokemon.
Wow, now that, my friend, that is investigative journalism.
Video games journalism is a real thing.
That is very, very finest. We're not going to do too much preamble, mm-hmm. because there's simply too much to do. There's a million updates, a little bit of news, and just an astonishing amount of games. So many games that we can't even begin to list them all, but we're going to try and list them all, because apparently that's our job. So Wayward Souls has just got a new dungeon, which is the thing that they promised to do with every update. They're going to add new dungeons, they add a bunch of new hats and power-ups and stuff like that, and they've also increased the price. Remember way back when we talked about Wayward Souls, which is, if you're not familiar, that top-down roguelike in which you have to explore dungeons bit by bit, level by level.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really good. We did a Twitch thing of it where we played it with hats on because they like hats, and It's really good fun. It's a cracking game. They've added the first update to it. The addition is called The Labyrinth, which is a dungeon that gives you 20 floors, a new boss fight, and story endings for all 6 characters. So extra stuff there. I'm reading off this, as you can see. And health potions are no longer awful, which is good to know.
Yeah.
Because apparently they weren't as good before. But, as promised, it now costs £3.99 or $5.99. Basically, it's going up $1 every time they do an update. Which is, I presume, a way of compensating for, early adopters getting lots of content early, but also if you come in late, you're getting way more content than the people who bought it at the beginning, ergo you're paying a bit more for that content.
Mm.
That's an unusual system. I'm interested to see how that flies.
Yeah.
Like, if there's going to be a massive drop-off of people actually buying it, because I kind of understand the logic behind them doing it, but are you happy with this? Do you think that's a fair system?
I think so. I guess it's a bit of a difficult sell, really, because if you've got a big franchise or a big brand or something like that, I guess you can kind of get away with doing a thing like that. Like, hey, you know we're going to keep making these, and you know it's going to be really good, and you know you're going to love it, so get in early, guys.
Yeah.
But with a game like Wayward Souls that, you know, you don't actually know if it's any good, this is the kind of first game in that franchise, if that's what they make it, then I don't know, that seems a bit difficult for them to kind of get across the value of doing that, and then subsequently the value of spending more money.
Yeah, it's a bit bold. I'm interested to see if it will pay off. Either way, it is a very good game. We absolutely loved it, so we stand by it in that regard. It's now cost £3.99 or $5.99 from the App Store. There are going to be more updates, so the price is going to continue going up. So if you want to get in, it's never going to be cheaper than it is now. So I guess get in there ASAP if you're interested. Also, True Skate, Peter!
Oh, wow!
Yeah, True Skate.
What's going with that?
It's going free for the first time ever on iPhone and iPad, because that's what this bit of text right here says. You played this one a lot, didn't you?
I did play this one a lot. I did. It is the second best iOS skateboarding game.
Behind?
Next to Touch Grind Skate 2, opinion. So this one is a little less hardcore than sort of Touch Grind Skate 2, but it's no less enjoyable for it. It is certainly much better than any rubbish Tony Hawk has managed to poop out onto the App Store, and it's way better than Skate It, which is the other effort by EA. Efforts by EA. So it's very, very good, and it's free, and oh my gosh, get it, like.
Yeah, as you can see from the video, it's a basically you're taking control of the skateboard directly, so you're putting your fingers on the board as if they were legs. And then you're doing kickflips and pop shove-its and all the other things you do by flicking and swiping your fingers. It's a very neat way of doing it. It's very intuitive and it is hard as hell. Peter got really good at it and did a bunch of videos showing some well impressive tricks because he's good at these things. And if it's free, you should really get it if you have any interest in it. We can't say more positive things about it. It'll only be on sale for a limited time, so True Skate, grab it now if it is still available. What else have we got for you? Cannibolt! Do you remember Cannibolt back in the day? The original Endless Runner?
Classic.
For some... man running atop a building. Well, it's been around for about 5 years at this point. And now, finally, it's got widescreen support. So you can now play it on your iPhone 5 or iPhone 5S, and you'll run across the whole screen, and it won't just be little black borders either side. Isn't that amazing? But it's not just that, of course. You get some new tunes, a track called Mega Ranabolt by some guy called Mega Ran. That's good to know. More importantly, new playable characters, which apparently cycle at random whenever you die. So you get a bunch of different people. We tried it a few times. We saw a dude in a white tracksuit and a couple of women with a suit that you may recognize. So there are a couple of new reasons to pick up Cannibolt if you haven't picked it up for a long time. We know it's old, but it's kind of classic.
Mm-hmm.
You can still get it for £1.99 or $2.99 on the App Store, and it's also available on Google Play naturally. Also, Plants vs. Zombies 2 has finally been updated with that Dark Ages update. Now, you saw this firsthand at E3, didn't you,
Peter? I did.
And you captured video of it, which is now playing.
I captured video of it, and I was shown the game and walked through the game by one of the producers of the game.
Right,
and some Sarky So-So, I don't think he's a true member of the AppSpy and or Pocket Gamer community, some Saki So-So said, "This is a fake video. It's not even the person doing the narration. This is rubbish." Like,
really?
They actually, yeah, they were like, "This is totally fake and rubbish, and it's copied from somewhere else." I was just like, "Dude, calm down." And it really was the producer of Plants vs. Zombies 2, which was kind of exciting, actually, showing me the game. They had a couple of different new bits and pieces, and I say new, I think they were in the original Plants vs. Zombies. I think there is one new thing, and also they've brought back the, I want to say the funky shroom, or the psychedelic shroom, or the...
sun shroom? Puff shroom?
Some shroom.
There's one shroom, but it's a kind of, because it's Dark Ages, it's all undead-ish stuff. I mean, zombies are already undead.
Oh, yeah.
But you also get, like, gravestones that are appearing, all the things. Instead of lawnmowers, you've got these weird scythes that carve down the track if they get hit, and it's, yeah, just basically a little bit undead and weird and creepy. If you smash up the gravestones, you get extra sunshine and plant food bonuses as well, and there's a peasant zombie, which has been newly added too. So there's a whole bunch of extra stuff you can do. It's still free to play, obviously. It looks as slick as it ever did. I didn't really take to the free to play system, but you know, some people still loved it, and it's still a big deal. Still Plants vs. Zombies, so there you go, you can grab that. The Walking Dead, your very, very favourite franchise in the whole world, Peter, which you still haven't played because you are a wuss. Finally, it is appearing on Google Play, specifically Season 2, because we've had the first series out for a while. Season 2 has been live on iOS for some time now, and now you Android-loving types can get in on the fun. You all know, I was going to recount the story, but you know the story now. You're Clementine instead of playing as Lee now, and I'm not going to tell you any plot points, because any time you mention anything about these games, people totally flip a wig, accuse you of doing spoilers, and just leave abusive comments.
Spoilers! It's about zombies!
No! I can't hear you! You are literally the worst unsubscribed. Yeah, so the way it's going to work is the whole second season will cost you £10.49 on Google Play. That's $14.99 in total, but you can, I think, still buy the individual episodes. I think you can also download the first episode at the moment, which is called All That Remains, for nothing. So you can grab it for free and then choose if you want to pick up the rest of the episodes. You probably will. It's still good. There are questions over how it compares to the first season, but it's still, you know, of a standard. Even if it's not the best, as good as it's been in the past, it's still very good.
Okay.
So, you know, no harm in grabbing that. Moving on. This is slightly more interesting to you, I suppose, Peter. Speaking of playing Nintendo things and doing Nintendo stuff.
Yeah.
So, You know the Sony cross-platform cross-play system?
Oh, yeah, it's very good. Very
it
exciting.
Works with the PS3 and the PS4 and the Vita.
Yes.
If you're not familiar with it, it allows you to buy a game on PS3, for example, and then you'll be able to download a free Vita copy of that game sometimes, and even be able to play them on both platforms multiplayer, so you can they can talk to one another, which is a nice, nifty little system. They've also, recently, I noticed this, slight tangent, they introduced the first PS4 bundle with the Vita bundled in with it.
Yeah.
Which is the thing they should be doing.
Yeah.
If they want people to get Vitas and use them as a peripheral that is designed to accompany the PS4, like really that's how they should be selling it. They've just started doing that, which makes total sense to me. You need to bung it in there as an extra and then people might start buying things for it. Nintendo has obviously been paying a little bit of attention to this, and Mario and Zelda creator Shigeru Miyamoto has said that making games that run on both Nintendo's handhelds and consoles is, quote, an area of opportunity. So what they're saying is that if you get a game on your 3DS, they are considering making games that will also run on your Wii and your 3DS, and then you can get both copies and you can play them together, or, you know, they'll just work on both platforms and yeah. there'll be some inclusivity. Which, yeah. to me, is the opposite situation of Sony. Sony are, like, bundling a Vita into the platform, saying, please buy and use a Vita, because our consoles are good, but no one's buying our handhelds. And Nintendo has the exact opposite problem.
Yeah.
Which is, everyone's got a 3DS, please buy a Wii and play it with your 3DS, please!
Please buy a Wii U. You know what, though? I would like a Wii U, but I don't know whether or not a cross-buy feature for 3DS and Wii U is something that I would want to take advantage of, with the sole exception of the one thing that they will never do anyway, which is cross-buy for virtual console. Right?
Oh, like, right, yeah, because, which would make a lot of sense.
Because actually, they make a huge amount of money on virtual console because they just resell you all of their old games again. Like, they did it with collections on GameCube, they did it when the GBA got a bunch of NES and like Game Boy ports, they did it with the Wii, the original Wii, and then, like you can sort of bring those games forward, sort of, vaguely, but, like, actually, if you want to use the proper Wii U, the power of the Wii U, like, to emulate everything, you can't bring those virtual console games forward. And they do it because obviously Nintendo is its brand. It is Mario and Zelda and Kirby. Yeah. And if, like, if they can resell you those things, which they can because they're so well made, then, like, they're going to do it. And, like, giving you cross buy and cross play and, like, maybe even, like, an account that says, yeah, you've already bought Legend of Zelda once before from us, so that's cool, you can play on whatever you want. It doesn't actually work in their favour as a company. It works in our favour as
people who
play games.
Well, it doesn't work financially in terms of them, they won't be able to sell you two copies. However, what Miyamoto said is that having two teams working, like, one on home console and one on, like, portable games, is kind of a massive stress for them.
Mm.
And it, unifying the two teams so that they're both working on the same project, or they're working at least together. They're not completely separate projects in different wheelhouses doing completely different games. So if there's a Kirby game, for example, they could both be working on the same ideas and produce a 3DS version that is also similar to the Wii version, and then there'll be some, like, unifying code that can bring them together.
Yeah.
That might actually be better for them as a company. That's what he's saying. There, to be clear, he hasn't said this is definitely what we're doing. He's saying this is a thing that might be happening in the future, or it's an idea that might work.
Agreed. Like, so this is actually, this sort of ties in with a previous rumour, like, that happened a couple of months ago, that said that at E3 Nintendo would be showing something called, like, Project Fire or something like that, where it was going to be basically a handheld and a home console at the same time. They were going to scrap the 3DS and the Wii U, and they were going to have this Project Fire, which was basically both things. So that kind of ties in with that rumor in some way, that maybe they are thinking about producing one piece of hardware instead of lots and lots of variations, and it covering both angles. Maybe that's something that they might do eventually. But I don't know whether or not that, like, retrofitting it into the 3DS and Wii U is something that they're interested in.
What's interesting to see is, as well as Miyamoto saying it, the CEO, Satoru Iwata, was also talking about it. Like, last winter he was doing it in some kind of CEO conference call or something, I think. And he's been talking about, like, the fact that the handheld game devices and the home console devices have always been developed separately, and they're technologically different and the requirements were different. But because of the technological advances, he's saying it's possible to achieve a fair degree of architectural integration.
Mm-hmm.
They discussed the point and ultimately concluded it was the right time to integrate the two teams. So it may be the case that in the future your 3DS game will actually be tied to the Wii U game or whatever handheld console and home console they bring out next. So there might be a little bit of crossover, a bit more like your PS3 and your Vita, which does make sense to me. Like, and also serves that purpose of having games as a service where you can, there's a unification between all the objects and items. You can play everything on everything else, which is the way things are going. People want to be able to play the same game or have access to their games on multiple devices. And so it does make sense. And frankly, I guess Nintendo at this point, anything to help, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you know.
Console problem?
Yeah, console problem, definitely, but not financial problem. Like,
they've got stacks of cash to fall back on. Sure.
Yeah, they can sit on, like, we've got a throne of games. They've got a throne of cash.
That is true. Very true. All right, then. So look forward to that in future. Moving on again. So 2K has made noises about Civilization Revolution 2.
Ooh.
Which is apparently going to be coming out on iOS on July the 2nd. So here's your 1 week heads up warning. The first game that they released, Civ Revolution, was like 5 years ago or something. How long was it?
Yeah, it was old.
Literally 2009 it came out. Literally 5 years ago. Insane. And we weren't so hot on it. It was way back in the day, 2009. So we were in the early doors of iPhone. And I don't think iPads existed then. Maybe they did, or they were just about to exist.
Yeah, they were just to come about, I think.
Yeah. And it wasn't the greatest port of the game. It still had a lot of depth and a lot of menus and a lot of GUI to deal with, but it was a mess. It was a bit of a cluster on the screen, and trying to actually tap the thing you wanted was really difficult. A lot of the menus overlapped on top of one another because they hadn't really perfected the idea of a mobile UI yet. Now, though, they've had 5 years to work on it, and obviously the platform has matured a great deal, and developers know a bit more what they're doing on iOS and iPhone and Android devices, so there's a strong hope that Civ Rev 2 will improve greatly on the predecessor.
I like the first one.
Did you really?
Yeah, I thought the first one's really, really good. I'm not a strategy fan at all, but I will defend to the death Civilization. I think it's fantastic. Like, one of the best games I've ever played. Civilization Revolution, like, on mobile, I thought was actually quite good. It depends who you talk to, really. Like, Pocket Gamer wasn't a massive fan of it. 148 Apps loved it.
Really?
Yeah, that's
true, I suppose. Whichever the case, whether you love the first one, this one should hopefully be better, at least have a far more intuitive
It looks
system.
Closer to proper Civ. Like, the actual screenshot we've got on the Pocket Gamer story, it looks way closer to the actual, like, PC version. So, cool.
Well, we'll see. As usual with the Civ franchise, you're going to be waging war, conducting diplomacy, researching new technologies, all the usual stuff that you do. We don't know what payment model it's going to be. I'm going to assume it's going to be premium. Because
it won't work free-to-play.
When has that stopped anyone?
I don't think they will dilute Civilization as a brand. Like,
well,
and go free to play. I don't think they'll do it.
We hope so. It should be. I'm inclined to agree with you, but you know, time has made fools of us all, hasn't it? So I hope very much that it'll arrive in one piece.
Well, I think if they do something like that, I think what they'll do is they'll go paid, and then they'll have like 69p editions, so you can add this civilization
to buy Mongolia,
religion. You can add politics, spying, stuff like that. I think that's what they'll end up doing. But hype for that.
So Civ Rev 2, that 2nd of July, next Thursday. So eyes on the skies for that one. Finally, for the newsy bit, the Banner Saga, which is that RPG, 2D RPG Norse goddy thing was released on PC and was developed by ex-members of the Mass Effect team.
Right.
Obviously, that caused a bit of a stir.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if it was kickstarted or not. Don't know. But either way, it developed a fair bit of hype in a slightly old-school RPG sort of way on Steam and PC. It has been officially confirmed coming to iPads, Windows, and Android tablets this summer. Which is good news for a lot of people, because there was a lot of love for this game. People got very excited. There was a bit of a worry leading up to it that they weren't going to be able to bring the game to iOS because of Candy Crush Saga and their pattern on the word saga. There was genuinely a worry, and there was genuine like articles and discussion between the two companies about the fact that King, the Candy Crush Saga developers, have gone like, we own Saga, and if you try and bring the Banner Saga over, we're gonna get it removed. That was like the back and forth of the conversation, and the Banner Saga people were going, nope, we're doing it anyway, screw you guys. And I think it's all calmed down a little bit since then, so there shouldn't be too much problem. But if you've played any of the Mass Effect games or Knights of the Old Republic or anything like that, you'll recognize things from it. It's still got that conversation system that you see where you choose different answers, and the answers will then have an impact on the gameplay and the character decisions and whether people like you or people don't. On the other hand of things, it's not a 3D wander around the world RPG. It's a 2D isometric little number with kind of pretty, very pretty 2D cutscenes. You can see the art on the screen there. It looks really, really nice. And someone's pointed out, and it's true, Chris has pointed out, kind of the older art style looks a bit more like, well, somewhere between the old Disney movies, like Sleeping Beauty and stuff. And also a little bit like those rotoscoped cartoons. Like, did you ever see those that Lord of the Rings cartoon that was done back in the 70s? And it was all rotoscoped, so it was actors playing it out, and then people would draw over the cells and colour them in, and it creates a very specific look. They look a little bit like that, but it's dead nice. I'm up for playing this. I hadn't got it on PC, because I've already got far too many Steam games to play. But this will be a perfect excuse for me to do it, if it appears on iPad. We don't have a direct release date for it yet, but like it'll be a couple of months, basically, and it'll be iPad only, so not iPhone, and Android tablets, and Windows tablets. So if you like your RPGs, which I do, something to look forward to there. All right, and let's put the news to bed. Go on there, that's it.
Go on.
Don't come in. You've done your homework, haven't you? Yeah, good, all right.
Get to bed, news.
Get to bed, the news.
Go on,
and,
you're drunk.
Let's do an amazingly large amount of new releases. And about this week, it's World of Tanks Blitz.
Yeah, it is.
The tanks have arrived. They're here. They're storming over the horizon. They're pointing their big turrets in me face.
Oh, is it Tank Week? Yes, Tank Week.
Yes, it is clearly Tank Week. Here we go. Yay, tanks. So, we covered this a few months ago when it first came out in Sweden on AppSpy. I think we also mentioned it a bit on Pocket Gamer.
Mm-hmm.
And we did some multiplayer videos. You can see them up on AppSpy right now. They are kind of fun, and we wanted to see if it would work. I was slightly suspicious of the whole thing, making what is essentially a very hardcore-ish PC franchise work on a mobile platform with touchscreen. I was like, really? Really? Is this going to work?
Yeah.
And we played a couple of games, and we had quite a good time. It works all right. It's not bad. And it's free to play, but in a good way.
Yes.
As good as you can expect. So it's free to play, yes, and obviously you can buy extra things if you want to, but there is no timer. So you can play as many games as you want, as often as you want, online, with your friends, in your own platoon. That's relatively generous. They could quite easily have given you an energy system and say, right, you get three goes, now bugger off, if you're not paying, because it's free to play and they, you know, technically allowed to do that. But no, they've allowed us to do as many games as we like, which we approve of. So you can do 14-player deathmatch type things. It's a platoons consist of seven aside, so it's 14 players overall. We're doing a great big long review of it. In fact, are you doing the review, Peter?
I am doing the review of it.
Yeah. So you've played it more even than I. What say you, Willington?
The review final score will be going up on Pocket Gamer fairly soon because I've just submitted it. But it is very high, let's put it that way.
Oh, it's good, is it? Okay.
Yeah, so, like, it just continues to be good, basically. Like, you play it for 5 minutes, you go, this is good, and then it doesn't stop being that.
It's handy.
Yeah, well, exactly. So it is free to play, and, like, the whole joke is, you know, like, World of Wallets, essentially, because...
Sorry, it's quite good.
Because when people get into this, they get seriously into it.
That
I know
is true.
There's a bunch of people that I used to write for, actually, the Midlife Gamer crew. And I know that the guys over there, for example, one of the guys who owns the company must have spent 200, 300 quid on the game already.
Really?
Like the main big PC game. Like, you can spend a lot of money, but you're never forced to spend anything.
Gotcha.
And that's kind of the beauty of it. Like, the reason people spend a bunch of money is because they see the value in doing so. And obviously, the game itself, you know, like, you drive around, you shoot things, you are part of a squad, you mm-hmm. take objectives. Like, it's just really enjoyable, and it requires strategy, and, like, it's visually impressive, and, you know, all of these things. And it just works really, really well, and it just continues to work. With the worldwide launch, they've added extra bits and pieces which weren't there originally. Like, they've just mm-hmm. added Facebook integration, so you can tell that Facebook friend support is coming soon.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a major deal, and, like, I really loved it.
Cool. All right, then. Well, we're going to do some playing tomorrow, which is Friday, if you listen to the podcast. Maybe too late for you guys to get joined in, probably. But anyone on Twitch, if you want to get involved, we'll do some multiplayer stuff, whether it's two-player, multiplayer, or seven-player, whatever. We're going to do multiplayer stuff where you will send us your details, we'll create little platoons, and we'll do some live tank battling on Twitch. And it's going to be fun if the servers hold up. So you can download that right now. World of Tanks Blitz, free to play. Go for it. It's really quite good. Also, Supernauts, which is a kind of Minecrafty life simmy game, where it's combining the creative element of Minecraft, where you're just handed blocks and asked to build structures, rather than in The Sims, you're like, do you want to buy a house or a chair? It's all these pre-made, prefabricated objects that you then put in a place. Whereas this is literally, you can build your own house out of little blocks and stuff. But it's also combined with that resource management simmy life thing where you have to manage people and save them and put them up in houses and make sure that they pay rent and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. A la your tiny towers or something. I played it a little bit yesterday on the stream. Again, you've played this a little bit more than me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think? Like, I think Alex on AppSpy, he reviewed it today and he gave it a kind of a low 4. It's around about a 7 out of 10, saying it's still got that free-to-play stuff. It is going to advance kind of slowly if you don't put in some money at your end. But saying that, there is always still stuff to do, provided you don't mind building with low-end materials.
Yeah.
You still have the ability to do things and occupy your time. It doesn't freeze you out completely.
No.
But if you want to advance at a decent rate, you are going to have to cough up a bit of cash.
Mm-hmm.
So he sort of gave it a hesitantly, like, yeah, it's better than your most free-to-play games, but sort of be warned. What's your feeling on it?
I think it's a casual Minecraft, and that's very good. That's very exciting. Lots of social elements to it, lots of creativity. It's very colourful, bright. It's funny in places. The writing's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it takes all of the good elements from those things, gets rid of most of the bad, and I just think it's the timer stuff that will put people off. Like,
there are timers, we should point out, when you have to build an object, then it, you know, but there's the standard tick-tock before it actually becomes...
It's perfect if you just want to play, like, it's perfect for sitting in front of the television and sort of vaguely sort of playing it. It is the perfect sort of second screen kind of a game of, like, I'm watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Oh, someone's just got murdered. Like, it's that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's fine if you're into it. I mean, I tend to play games in more longer stretches. You like Clash of Clans and Boom Beach and things
Boom
like
Beach.
That. So you're much more used to pick it up, you know, 5-10 minutes blasts, put it down again. So it is good for that kind of play. And you can therefore do it and have some fun without paying anything. But you are going to have to expect that you're going to hit a grind point at some point.
Definitely.
That's just the way it is. But it's free to play. It's available now. There are a ton of walkthroughs and tips and hints and stuff up in Pocket Gamer at the moment. Mark did a load of videos which give you walkthroughs on how to get different bits and pieces. So much stuff. Go and check it out, all on PG. We've got you covered for Supernauts. Out right now, free. Also, Point Blank Adventures, a free-to-play touchscreen version of the Light Gun Classic, which I know excited Mark because he's into all these kind of minigame games, Bishy Bashy and all that stuff, which we covered as well. Mucho Party being a two-player party game. This falls somewhat into the same camp. You remember Point Blank? They did a version of it on the SNES as well as in the arcades?
They did it on the PS1, I want to say.
Did they do that as well? Awesome, okay.
Yeah.
So it was a light gun game where you're, you know, blasting away and lots of, like, about 18 different mini games that you play where creatures popped up and aliens came out of little volcanoes or whatever it might be and you just shot them to death. In this case, because it's iOS, it's just touchscreen, so you can tap, 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 I presume. I presume it's tappy anyway. We haven't played this one because it is... Is it out? It is out
right
now.
It's in New Zealand.
That's New Zealand, that's why. So it's a soft launch sort of thing. And we will do a little hands-on video with this. If you happen to live in New Zealand right now, you can get right on this. It is free to play, so you can have a go. But it's only New Zealand right now. So we'll do a full review when it properly comes over to the US and the UK. But I just saw it because I went, aw. Like, proper old-school memories of all that shooting.
But isn't Point Blank on touchscreen, isn't it just touch the screen?
Well, yeah, but that, like, there'll be a large volume of beasties, presumably, and you have to do it really, really, really quickly. It'll be a test of agility rather than light gun aiming. So,
yeah.
Gallery right. Shooters work fine on touchscreen, you know.
Yeah.
You're all right. Quite all fun. Right. Yeah. All right. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Point Blank Adventures, New Zealand, free, out now. Knock yourself out. Storm Chasers, something we covered in the Twitch stream yesterday. I thought this was going to be a Zelda-like game. Turns out it ain't. It's sort of slightly unusual. It's a top-down exploratory adventure in which you go through a series of dungeons. The difference here is that the dungeons are timed, so you enter the dungeon and then a countdown will appear, maybe like 17 seconds, and you have to get as far as you can, killing as many beasties and collecting as many power-ups as possible within that time limit, after which you get teleported out of the dungeon and you get slung back into the hallway outside again. And you have to keep doing this numerous times until you collect the right object, you get a key, or you defeat the boss. And every time you go back, you can power up your lad, and that will get you more time, and it'll give you more power, which means you can defeat enemies even quicker. The animation's very simple. It's one of those things where it's like, like 2 frames of animation while your character glides across the floor like an air hockey puck. And it's very dumbed down, not in a nasty way, but it's very simple. Like, the targeting's automatic, so you just hit the fire button and your fireballs will shoot at the people and the skeletons, whoever's closest, really. The controls are tight enough. You get cards to give you new skills, unlock different powers. You can boost your character by doing so and buy yourself more time underground, like I say. Costs you £1.49 or $1.99. Being under the time constraints, the pressure of the clock, puts you under a little bit of stress.
Right.
And that's quite kind of fun. But, you know, it just wasn't what I was expecting, so it threw me off slightly.
It seemed quite, like, action-packed, I would describe it as. And
would you now?
Frenetic action.
Yes,
I would use action twice in one review, which normally I wouldn't do.
Why not?
Yeah.
But that's out now. It's a roguelike thing, so every time you go into the dungeons, it changes, so you get used to that. I don't know. I'm interested. We'll see what the review says on Pocket Gamer when it comes up, and we'll be reviewing it on apps by early next week. £1.49 or $1.99. Storm Chasers. Also out now, Super Pixlander, which I played on the stream and I quite enjoyed for a free-to-play arcade simple thing.
Alright.
It's rather jolly. Old school vector looking graphics. You take control of a character who keeps himself in the air by shooting at the floor. So your character propels himself upwards by blasting either a minigun or a shotgun or whatever he collects. He has to fly towards little kind of floating bits of what look like diamond clusters or something. I don't know what it is. But every time you collect it, you A, power up, and B, you change your weapon. Kind of like in Super Crate Box. Every time you collect a new weapon, you power up and the enemies come out faster. So you can have shotguns and miniguns and all that kind of stuff, and that affects the way you fly, and you have to kind of shoot at the floor and that propels you up. And then if you want to go down, you just stop shooting and you'll gradually fall back down to earth. The tilt controls, which is how you steer left and right, work nicely. It's challenging because you've got to judge the way that you fall to the floor, because you'll get little warnings. Hazard symbols will appear at certain points at the sides of the screen, which will tell you when a meteor is about to blast out the side or a laser beam is about to cut across the screen, and you have to go, oh crap, stop firing, and let you hope you fall down in time.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it was quite fun. It's ad supported. There are no in-app purchases or anything.
Okay.
So you'll occasionally get full page ads pop up. Bit intrusive, but the game itself, I thought was quite fun. It's simple and throwaway and a bit jolly. You can download it right now for free, Super Pixlander. I think it's just iPhone, or is it iPad? No, it must be iPad, because I was able to play it on my iPad, therefore yes, it should be iPad.
No, I see we've got
it says iPhone here, but
I see we've got to the bottom of this mystery, just like you'll have to do in our next game.
Oh ho! Murder Files Enigma Express, which is a hidden object game based on the Murder Files that I think turned up in the PSNN. Yeah, it was available from the PlayStation Network. There was Murder File, the Blue Toad Murder Files, I think they were called. And it was like a cutesy, like almost like Agatha Christie or Miss Marple adventure done in 3D animation, and it was all like talk to the characters and work out who's done the murderings. It was presented in a very quaint and sweet way. This is available right now. You can get it from the App Store for free, and it follows the same art style as the earlier games, but it's a hidden object game rather than a full-on interviewing thing and puzzle-solving dad. So it's very much a light version of the console game. The console games are actually quite good, I'll hasten to add. Good-natured British humour, as people are saying. It does come with an energy system and a very slowly unlocking story, which, you know, might be a bit of a pain in the arse to do, but, you know, I was a bit disappointed to see that it wasn't the full game, because they have already released them, I think, but they didn't do a sequel, so maybe we saw new ones and we thought, ah, it'll be a new adventure, and it's a hidden object game that's free to play with an energy system. So, but it's called the Uniquely Charming Hidden Object Game. So there you go.
I'm sure it is uniquely charming.
Can't say fairer than that. Murder Files Enigma Express out right now. We're still going. We're still doing this. Still new releases. All right, then here we go. Rhythm of Fighters.
Yeah.
Which, now, see, I thought you'd be all over this, but you looked all, like, disappointed when you saw it. So, what it is it's a rhythm action version of The King of Fighters, which is that SNK Playmore game that was available, again, I think, on Neo Geos and arcades and things like that. The 2D brawler from back in the olden days, days of yore.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the series very well, don't you?
King of Fighters?
Yeah.
Love it, mate. Love it. yeah, King of Fighters is one of my favourite series. I love 2D fighters. I grew up kind of playing them and then got super into them when I was, like, I don't know, 15 to 18, maybe. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, maybe about 15 to 20. And played them all through university and got really good at them. And King of Fighters was definitely, like, a series that was very, like, influential to how I see games and how I play fighting games.
So, was it a 2D... was it a multiplayer thing? You're playing all your housemates or whatever? Or was it just single player?
Sadly, I never knew anybody who was ever into these games. Except for when I was about, you know, 15 to 17, when I had some friends who played, like... They played Tekken Tag Tournament and they played Capcom vs. SNK 2, which is the best fighting game ever made. But I kind of got into King of Fighters as a, like, educational experience. As, like, a, I'm going to figure out why these games have been around since 93, 94. And, like, because obviously King of Fighters is a spin-off of Fatal Fury, Art of Fighting, and...
Samurai Showdown. There you go. See, I know things. I did my research because I had to do the hands-on with the new game. And it's taken that old fighting style, the 2D brawler, two characters battering hell out of one another. But instead of you using punch and kick and block buttons and stuff, you are tapping circular indicators as and when they appear on the screen in time to the backing music. And if you tap at all the right times, then your character will unleash punches and kicks and do special moves and that. And that's how it works. It features characters from the entire series, so, like, The King of Fighters and, like you say, Fatal Fury and Samurai Showdown and all that lot, and songs from all those games as well. So it is trying to do a Theatre Rhythm Final Fantasy type deal, where it's only on a slightly more niche series. The thing with Theatre Rhythm Final Fantasy is that Final Fantasy's got a broad appeal, both in the East and the West, and the music specifically is very well known. People, like, know the songs, and the people know... Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's something that resonates with people. So when they hear the songs, or they hear Aeris's theme or whatever, everyone remembers it. This, like, do you hum lots of the tunes from the King of Fighters games?
No. The thing that's kind of iconic about the King of Fighters games is, and indeed all of SNK's games, are the intros, the stages upon which you fight, the character design, the moves, that kind of stuff. It's not, the audio's, like, not a thing. With the exception of the fact, like, the voice artists and stuff like that, like, Terry Bogard talks in a very specific way, like, and when you play as, like, Kyokusanagi, like, you expect him to sound in a certain way. So,
right.
But, like, soundtrack, like, like, you can buy them in Japan. You can buy the albums, but they're just
It's a bit niche, I think. So I don't see that this is going to have the same kind of global appeal that your Final Fantasy Theatre Rhythm has. However, I played it and it works fine. Like, the dots, as you can see on the video playing, they all appear in this oval that's in the center of the screen. You don't have to tap your finger directly on the dots. You can tap anywhere. But as well as just tapping, you also have to do swipe sometime. You swipe down when an object appears, and you have to tap and hold while a track kind of journeys around one quarter of the screen and stuff. So there's a bunch of moves to deal with. It looks great, and it all works. It's just, I think it's a bit niche, and they may have overestimated people's love of the soundtrack of King of Fighters.
They could have spent the money porting Garou, Mark of the Wolves.
Okay, obscure game man. Right on.
No, like, Garou, Mark of the Wolves is the Fatal Fury sequel, and it is the best, one of the best fighting games they ever made, and if it came to iOS, that would be it. I wouldn't have to write about video games anymore, because it would be out. And it would be the best game ever on iOS, so what would be the point in covering games anymore?
So. Well, good job they didn't do it then. Okay, so you can get it right now. It will cost you 69p or 99 cents, which is quite reasonable. I think it comes with 14 songs, but you have to unlock characters, and you can pay to unlock characters and pay for extra music, and so there's a lot of money to be eked out of you. If you get really, really into it. But I'm interested to see what business this does. Rhythm of Fighters, out right now, iPhone only, not iPad. So, nuts to you. iPad owners. We're still going! Helly Helly, an explosive free-to-play shoot-em-up, which you can play with just one finger, boasts the title, written by Chris Priestman. Alright, so it's a shmup that is supposed to be a bit easy. A little bit more accessible. Right. So you just need one finger to move the chopper around. That's all you need to do. It'll fire automatically. Apparently not constantly, but when you line up with enemies. So when you get them on the same vertical axis as you, it'll automatically start firing, and you can blow them all away. It looks reasonable enough. The visuals are fairly strong. You can upgrade weapons and buy new ones with in-game gold, and obviously that'll cost you money, in-app purchases, blah, blah, whatever. It's out right now, UK and US app stores, free to play. Helly, H-E-L-I, Hell, H-E-L-L, that's okay. What it's called. Also, Oscura's Second Shadow, which we played on the stream yesterday. It is a sequel to Oscura, which was a shadowy, silhouette-based platformer in the vein of Limbo. The first one appeared in 2011, around the same time as Limbo did, riding on the wave of that success. It had iffy controls, swipey gesture-based controls, and they have sorted them out for the sequel, in fairness to them. Still very much the same game. You take control of a little gremlin dude who's running around with a glowy palm, and his job is to bring light to the world and collect little light shards or fragments or whatever the hell they are. Everything's one hit kill, so you touch a nasty cog with spikes on it, or you run into an evil enemy looking dude and you're just immediately dead. Checkpointing's pretty generous though, so it's not too much of a problem. It's controls a lot better, like the controls are very responsive and everything. You have to be careful how you advance through the levels, because if you just charge straight forward, then stuff will just jump out and kill you immediately. So you have to be a little bit cautious in the way you approach it, which is nice. It's a bit more thoughtful. You can also slow down time in a bullet time sort of way, which is useful to stop enemies from winging up and down the screen really, really fast and blocking your way. So you pause them at the top for a bit. Kind of Dead Space did a lot of that as well. Same sort of mechanic here. It's fine. It's a perfectly, you know, well-handling, decent enough looking...
That's what you
looking.
Said about it last time. You said, it's fine, yeah, it's brilliant, fine. Like,
opinion hasn't changed. It's just, like, it's fine. It's not bad at all. It does everything it sets out to do, I think. Whether you think that's enough, or whether you go, oh, it's another one of these Limbo knockoffs, then, you know, you're perfectly entitled to think that. It is, I think, better than the first one. But it's still another one of these games, inverted commas. So, you know, there you go. Greatness. Mm-hmm. As the new releases, Oscura Second Shadow, it's out right now and it'll cost you £1.99 or $2.99. Let's talk about games we've played this week on the Throne of Games.
Come sit upon the Throne of Games.
Alright then, I'm going to start off with you, Peter, because I'm knackered after talking about all those new games. What is the game that you have possibly played most this week, or at least are going to talk about most?
You haven't
done your homework, have you?
The game that I've been playing this week is owning an iPad.
Hang on, what?
So I've always owned an iPhone.
Oh, that's true.
And I've never actually had a tablet device before that was made by Apple. I've had an Android tablet before, and I love my Android tablet, and I wish that I could do, like, play more games on it. Unfortunately, it sort of died recently. But, so I got an iPad recently. And do you know what? Here we go. I don't like it.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, I don't think I like iPads.
Why, Peter? Why?
So this is an iPad 4, I want to say. It's not an iPad Air, so it's not the latest one. I don't like how sort of... Well, it's heavy, and it doesn't feel like I would ever use it. Like, I don't know what situation I would want to be using it in. So I love my iPhone, right? Like, because I sit on the couch, and, like, I'm with my girlfriend, and we're, like, chilling out and stuff, and she's watching Orange is the New Black is at the moment, which is very good, by the way. And I'm just like, oh, whatever. When it gets to a sad bit, I'm like, yeah. And then, like, I concentrate on my phone so she doesn't see me crying. So, I can get my phone out very quickly and sort of, like, have a quick browse and, like, play a quick game and check in with Boom Beach and all that sort of stuff. But, like, if I want to get my iPad, I have to be like, right, hold on. And, like, lean over. Oh, hello. Oh, and it's much heavier. And, like, oh, let me just quickly boot up, like, a game that doesn't require a massive screen like this.
You sound well miserable now. You sound proper granddad. This is well dad, what you're doing.
The thing is, like, I like the idea of tablet gaming, but I think I'm more of a mobile gamer.
Right.
Like, I think I'm the kind of person who iOS games get me excited because I can play them wherever I am, whenever I like. But with an iPad, it's a dedicated, I have to sit down and go, I am going to play with my iPad now.
Yes.
And I often don't, like, it doesn't often strike me that I want to play games like that. There are some times where I'm like, playing this on an iPad would be better. Like, I played The Room, for example, on your recommendation, and it was fantastic. Like, I played it on my iPhone, and it was brilliant. If I'd played it on my iPad, I probably would have liked it a little bit more. And that's the kind of game where you sit down and actually play those games. But for the kind of games that I play, an iPhone does me just fine, and it fits into my life and is much more convenient for me rather than, like, a big old slab of metal and glass that I can't fit that in my pocket.
Thing is, though, for a start, iPads are a supplicant to an iPhone. They're not something you get instead of an iPhone. They're something you have as well as.
Yes, agreed.
So there's that issue. For me, weirdly, I got an iPad before I got an iPhone because I started off doing the iOS reviews and I needed a device to play it. But I was using a Samsung Galaxy S2 at the time. I was an Android user and always have been sort of back and forth between the two platforms. So I started off playing lots of games on iPad and got quite used to it. And then when I got an iPod Touch to do, like, the hands-on things, suddenly it felt really small and fiddly because, I'd been used to a Samsung S2, and that's noticeably bigger than your old iPhones. So it just seemed like a tiny little screen, and thumbs always getting in the way, and it felt a little bit awkward. And games that I'd found quite easy to control on iPad were suddenly tiny little fiddly nightmares on the iPhone. And regularly, actually, I come up against comments when we were reviewing. Personally, because I jump between the two platforms, there are games that definitely do work far better on iPad. More so that way around than the other way around. There are a couple of games that work better on iPhone, but only a couple.
I think there are more games that you like that work better on iPad, and I think there are more games that I like that work better on iPhone.
Like what?
Well, so, like, I'm still playing Boom Beach, right?
Okay.
I'm still playing it because I love it. I love it so much, but I haven't bothered downloading it onto my iPad. Like, I'll never play it on my iPad. It works better on iPhone because of the way that it is built. And I prefer games that are like that. I prefer games that are, like, very quick, very instantaneous. Lots of, like, I'm the free-to-play guy. I'm the guy who's just, like, don't jump in for a game for 10 minutes, jump back out of it. Like, you're the sort of guy who's just like, I'm going to buy a game and I'm going to flipping well play it. And in that instance, I think you're right, an iPad does suit you better. And of course, like, I don't think that the iPad is terrible. I don't think that the iPad really is very bad. What I'm sort of saying is I don't like it because it kind of doesn't fit in with the way that I play games outside of the work that you and I both do and that our colleagues do. Like, I like it. I think it's a cool bit of kit and it's fantastic that I've got it. For me, like, an iPhone works better because those games are the games that I play in my spare time. I would never not have an iPhone now, but I think I could very easily get rid of my iPad and have an Android tablet instead.
Oh, I don't like the Android tablets are shonky. The experience I've had. We've got a bunch. Like, not myself personally, but a couple of members of my family have them. I've played with the Galaxy Tabs. I've played with the Asus ones.
What's the Google one?
Google, or the Nexus. Nexus 7 is good. That's the best. Like, but a very small little size, I mean. But I have been long-term with the Nexus, all right? So I can report that after about a year, Nexus starts to chug hard.
Oh, like, really?
Yes. There are long-term issues with that device. It's a brilliant device, but it starts to suffer slowdown. When you start putting apps on it and taking apps on and taking apps off, it obviously, whether the registry explodes or there's just so much baggage that seems to come with the games, it slows right down, which isn't so great. And you don't really get that with the iOS devices. You can easily delete all the apps and it still runs as smooth as butter, really. You have to go back to the iPad 1 and the iPad 2 before you start seeing real problems with slowdown and stuff. And I've got an iPad, first gen iPad, the first one I got for work. And that you can barely turn on now. They do crap out after a while, after use, but it's far worse with the Nexus, actually. But I agree, I like the form factor, a little short thing, and it's very nice to hold on to.
So, quick question on that. Like, could you reset the device and, like, reset it to factory settings?
My friend's actually gone ahead and done that once. It's Matt, who is a mate of mine I used to live with. Resetted the device.
Yeah.
Resetted the devices with his fingers.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Eevee set it, and it helped a bit, but not much.
Okay.
So well, it that, does suffer some long-term issues.
That's interesting. But yeah, like, iPad review, right? 7 out of 10.
Please, get off my screen, man.
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
After that heretic nonsense, let me fire up what I've been doing this afternoon. Let's see what it says on this page. Oh, I think someone's bumped it up a little bit. Oh, look. Oh, look what I've been playing, boys and girls.
Oh, there it is.
So I just spent this afternoon playing Kim Kardashian Hollywood. Or,
Hollywood.
As I should probably pronounce, Kim Kardashian Hollywood. Which I think is how it works.
So this is your game of the year?
Well, yeah. Basically, this is I played this game and now my father won't look me in the eye anymore. Quite rightly, I think.
Mm.
Because it's... preposterous. So, right, there are these fashion games that are popular with a certain demographic, which I understand. You know, dressing up games and all that sort of stuff generally appeals to a female audience, and certainly not doesn't account for all of female gaming, but there is a subsection of that makes quite a lot of money out of those kind of games. This is that kind of game, only framed around a socialite moron, Kim Kardashian. And the idea is that you... I thought you were going to play as Kim Kardashian, but you can't. You play as some bint or some jerk who is working in a clothes store, like fashionista, and is trying to be Kim Kardashian. And Kim Kardashian acts as like this big-titted Yoda to sort of guide you through the journey. So you're like working in the store, right? And then some like dude tells you that you've got to straighten a shirt. And this is what you have to do. So you hit the shirt and a bunch of money flies out of it. And that, and you've straightened the shirt. So well done, video games. And then like you go outside because you obviously you're at this point trying to kill yourself over your life. And then Kim Kardashian appears out of nowhere like some kind of awful plastic genie and is like, oh, hey, God, you work at a store. Don't close the store. I got to get a dress. And you're like, oh, Kim, piss off with you. I'm like, I'm busy. I've had a horrible day. I straightened a shirt and then it got unstraightened again and it was a nightmare. And she's like, no, I really did the shirt, and throws a load of money at you. And they're all throwing money. It's really weird. When you tap a thing, money doesn't like fall out of
it. Do they make it rain?
Basically, they do. It goes boom and bounces out and then starts going doing 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 across the floor. It's really strange that like there's no gravity, and so she throws money literally explodes out of her bosoms and jumps on over the floor, and you go back into the store and you help her choose a dress, and then she says, oh, that's really good, thanks for doing that, that's great, and then gets you to like come to a photo shoot tomorrow because this is how you get in Hollywood. And you go, all right. And then you get back home and you have to change your clothes, and then you get into a bus and you go to Hollywood and there's a photo shoot, and you stand there during the photo shoot, you talk to this photographer idiot, and it, like I'm waiting for the options to pose to come out, you know, I'll have to put my finger in and then we'll do a pose and they'll shoot and they'll do things. No, she just stands there. She stands there, and then a little thing appears on the screen and you tap it and money flies out of it again and it says you've done a pose. You don't actually do a pose, it just says you have. And Kim Kardashian standing over your shoulder going, that's really good, that's really amazing.
So, okay, so the first thing I have to say on this is if anybody is any good with Photoshop in the AppSpy community, then obviously make a big boobed Yoda with Kim Kardashian's head on with money exploding out of them. Obviously. And yes, get in touch with the AppSpy Twitter account because that would be amazing. And two, I guess, who wants to play this game?
Everyone wants to play this game, Peter, because it's been out for less than 24 hours. And when I checked, it had 6,600 reviews within 12 hours of it going live. It is currently sitting at number 2, if not number 1, in the free-to-play app store. So it's up there with Clash of Clans and Candy Crush Saga, and I mark my words, it's going to stay there for some time.
Video games? What are you doing?
No, pop culture, boys and girls, pop culture. This is a game that is popular purely because it has the words Kim Kardashian on it. I think it's actually her voice in it. I was confused, because obviously I started playing the game and I was like, if you know anything about the history of Kim Kardashian, the only reason she got famous is because she happened to feature in a special interest video with her and some R&B dude. So I naturally assumed the tutorial mission was going to involve like thrust mechanics and some kind of vigorous rubbing, and maybe there was going to be like a squawk box where you talk and she'd make various ooh-ah groany noises. And so I was waiting for that to kick in, obviously, because we're recreating the life of Kim Kardashian. didn't happen. Nothing like that at all. You just work in a clothes shop and see you sort of standing there. Honestly, it's like I don't get those games anyway. Personally, they're not aimed at me, obviously, those kind of fashion games, so they're not for me to get. But the fact that this is an aspirational character for people, that's my concern. That's my problem. It's just like...
Are you concerned for the kids? Is this what you're worried about?
You sound really old when you say that, but no, I weep for a generation. I really do. It's like, this is your role model then, is it? This is... And the game is built around just being as callous and shallow and stupid as humanly possible.
In the same way that...
In order to court the paparazzi.
In the same way that, like, Fred Durst was the role model for our generation. Like...
No, he wasn't.
Like, Kim... No,
he was a role model for dumbasses.
I'm
who
sure
liked,
no...
Who likes Slip... No, not Linkin Park. No, they're all the same. Flint Biscuit. No,
but, like, I'm sure that, like, the smart kids aren't looking at Kim Kardashian and going, I'm going to play her video game because I want to be just like her. It's really for morons. And, like,
yeah,
ultimate...
But number two in the App Store.
Yeah, because...
Within 12 hours.
Yeah, but then if you look at what the App Store caters to, it's very sort of general public, and it's very much... Like, I'm sure that she will probably have retweeted and said, hey, my new game's out, and I'm really excited, and all that good stuff. Like, I'm sure the billions of people who follow her on Twitter have all gone and grabbed it and all of those sorts of people. But I think it's more that people who enjoy games and the people that we're talking to probably don't actually give a toss about Kim Kardashian or anything like that. It is the people who happen to own an iPhone and they play games on it every once in a while. Maybe they play a bit of Candy Crush, like, because it's so widespread or whatever. But, like, they've probably never even heard of, like, Peggle or anything like that. Not even anything as hardcore as Peggle. you know, and they're the people. Like, the fact that they're getting the reviews... Okay, here you go. The fact that that game has so many reviews already is probably because the audience that is playing it probably isn't used to being told, hey, go and review this thing. And they're also the kind of people who probably do as they're told by celebrities.
Considering the game is literally that, it is literally you get told by her to go and do a thing, and you go and do the thing, and there you go. And now you can be a fashionista celebrity moron too. It's just bizarre. It was a very strange little afternoon playing that, and you can watch the video up on AppSpy's YouTube channel. And basically, I played it so you didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I did it. So, Kim Kardashian Hollywood, don't get it. Don't, obviously. What? Just don't. What are you doing? Just stop. Don't. No. Don't even click on it to see. Just don't. All right. Yeah. Good. Brilliant. All right. That's it for this week. I'm off to go and try and recollect some of my sanity. Thank you for watching and listening, Twitch viewers and podcast audio listener people. We love you lots.
Mm-hmm.
Join us again next week. There'll be more people, more chatter, and all the same stuff. Come on, join us. It'll be larks. We love it. Bye.
Bye.